good morning.
Good morning.
Trust everyone is doing well. I'm glad you're here this morning. I am grateful for the rain, but I'm looking for the sun. Amen. I'm looking for two suns today, the S-U-N and the S-O-N. Amen. But so we're glad you're here this morning, and then I will go ahead and get this out of the way. If you're visiting for the first time, I'm glad you're here, but I want to encourage you to come back because I'm not preaching this morning. We have a guest preacher this morning for our Thanksgiving message and challenge. And of course, I'll be speaking the other services this week. The Thornton family is with us. There are missionaries that help struggling churches find a pastor, keep together as before they move forward. Before that, they were spent many years. It's hard to believe you spent that many years. Ms. Pam, you don't look old enough to have spent that long in a mission field. But they're back at States after many years in South America, so you pray for them. They'll be speaking for us later, so I'd like to encourage you, if it is your first time, please come and visit us another time as well. You get an opportunity. You might like today's preaching better the next time you come. I don't know, but still, we want you to come back. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before the choir sings for us this morning. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Father, we thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. We thank you again, Father, for the rain that we've had on and off the last 10-plus days, Father. And also thank you for the sunshine that's coming our way. And, Father, I pray that your sun would shine in our hearts today and in our service. May we lift our voices, Lord, in our hearts in song and worship together. And, Father, may you do a work that only you can do today in this place. So we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
God be the glory for the faith.
God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, your giving of your tithes and offering. And remember, as I often say, a tithe is a debt we owe, and an offering is a seed we sow. And if you'll notice on our offering envelopes, I encourage you, if you'd like to give regularly, if you don't mind, please fill out one of those offering envelopes. We do keep those records on file. I provide a letter for you at the end of the year. And make sure you write your name and a check number. If it's by check, it makes it easier for our records, because if you don't fill it out, then those who are doing accounting and bookkeeper, they fill one out for you and keep it on file for tax purpose in event we were ever audited or you requested that. So help us out in that area. You're welcome to take a few extra ones. I always forget. So about once a month, I grab a handful and take them home with me, and as part of my ritual on Saturday morning before I after I have my devotions. But anyway, thank you so much again for your faithfulness and your giving. I ask Brother Daryl Leonard to ask God's blessings on our tithes and offerings this morning.
Father, thank you for this beautiful, wonderful day. Even though it's overcast and there's rain in the air, Father, we do appreciate all that you do for us,
yes.
Father. Thank you for this wonderful Lord's Day that we can come into your house and worship you, Father. You are worthy of all of our praise and worship, Father. And as we do so, we take time today, this morning, to give back a portion of what you have given to us this week, Father, with our thanks. And Father, we just pray and ask that you accept our tithes and offerings today, Father, as a means of worship towards you, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. And thank you for Jesus, who made it all possible for us. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in prayer as we go before the Lord, asking God's blessings upon the preaching this morning, as well as our home, our church here in our community. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we come before thy throne this morning with grateful hearts, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, what a joy it's been if we look over the last 10 plus days of the little bit of rain that we've had, Father, to water the valley and provide some relief from some of the so much dry weather and heat we've had this past summer, Lord. Just your blessings on top of that, just continues to seem to bestow upon us, Father. We are so grateful for that. Thank you for the sun. It'll be coming our way later today and through the rest of the week. And Father, we ask that the S-O-N would shine in our hearts and our services this morning as well, that you would do a work that only you can do in our midst this morning. Father, we are so grateful for the privilege of being here this morning, for the beautiful facilities you've given us. Lord, for the means that you've given us here lately of doing some painting and cleaning up and more work to come in the new year. Father, we're so grateful for the means that you provided for us to take care of the facilities that you have provided for us. Thank you for the men who have volunteered their efforts and their work and their experience in helping in these areas and the means that we've had to hire other projects out. Father, we are so grateful. And then, Father, we thank you for our men of harvest and those men that are visiting with us today. Father, we pray that you would help them, that you would encourage them, strengthen them, protect their mind, their eyes, their ears, and their tongue, Father. I pray that you'd use them for thy honor and thy glory, both at home and at work and in your community, that you'd use them to be that shining example, Father, and you'd protect them from sin. Father, we thank you for our ladies, Father, who labor here with us here at Harvest Baptist Church and the many ministries that we have here. I pray that you be with our ladies, that they strive to be that Proverbs 31 woman of encouraging and standing beside those that are married with their husbands, or standing beside their pastor and his wife in the ministry here and involved in ministry. We are so grateful for their efforts and their labors of love. Thank you for those who serve in the children's ministry, the nursery, and Sunday school classes, Father. We are so blessed to have those willing to serve, to give back, and to minister to our community and to one another. And then, Father, we pray, Father, that there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May you work in their hearts. May you help them to see their need for Christ and they'd come to you. Father, I pray there's a Christian among us today that is hurting, maybe discouraged, that they would have already been encouraged and feeling welcome here in our among our church family, that you would encourage them through the preaching to come in a few moments. Father, use it to encourage and challenge their hearts. And then, Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word this morning. Be with Brother Thornton as he breaks the word of life that brings it to us this morning, that you'd use him, give him clarity, thought, mind, and speech. And, Lord, I pray that you would do through him what only you can do, and that you would continue to work in and through him in the midst of us here today at Harvest Baptist Church. Help us be the shining light in this community, that we might strive to make a difference as we try to do all we can to mold and to build men and women and young boys and girls. And Father, may you again, as we close, may you be lifted up, and may we, on purpose, decide to glorify and worship you together. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you visiting with for the first time or first time in a long time, we're so glad you're here. If you filled out a visitor's a slip, if you were not had a chance to fill it out and put it in the offering envelope, if you just give it to someone nearby or get it to me, I would greatly appreciate that. We'd like have a record. You will get an email, a phone call, or a text or a letter from me just thanking you for your visit. And we're so glad you're here this morning. I want to give a brief introduction for our speaker before our ladies come and bless us with a song, and then we'll have the preaching. It's good to have the Thornton family with us. It's been a pleasure to get to know him a little better over the last couple of years, and more so since his last visit and being with us a little longer this time, we have a chance to fellowship. And so you continue to pray for him. After many years on the mission field, the Lord has redirected him back in the States to do a work. And for those of you who don't realize, and he'll give you more details later, I just wanted to just give you a little bit. Several hundred churches of like faith close their doors every week in America. And there's a great need. There's pastors. I know personally of 80 to 120 churches of like faith that do not have a pastor. Now, I'll be honest with you. Some of them, I don't know if they want a pastor or if they just want a preacher. But many of them want a pastor because they want a shepherd. And so with that in mind, this is his new ministry. He'll share more about that at another time before they leave. But I appreciate what he's doing to help churches. A church now in Wyoming has a pastor. He'll be going back for kind of a passing of the baton later in December because they were without a pastor. He's helped them out in that area and looking forward to the next opportunity that God gives him. He's not looking for an opportunity. He's hoping no one needs help, but the reality is they do. So you keep them in prayer as he'll come again, 40 years plus on the mission field. And now God has redirected him as another mission here stateside. I know he needs your prayers, and he is one of ours as far as one of our missionaries that we support, and we'll continue to lift them up in prayer. And so you pray for them, get your Bibles ready to hear the preaching and the challenge today. I know you'll be blessed by it. And again, if you're visiting first time, I hope and trust you'll come back again. I'm not worried he's going to make you mad, but you ought to come back and hear the preacher that the Lord may lead you to if you're looking for a church. So ladies, you come sing us and bless us for our preacher preaches this morning.
to the end. It's Jesus and me.
Well, good morning. I appreciate Pastor Cook giving me the opportunity to give the Thanksgiving message. Not every pastor would give a missionary that privilege, but I appreciate that very much. And for Thanksgiving, I want you to turn to Job chapter 1, please. Now, I don't know if you've read the book of Job or not. Some might think, well, Job chapter 1 for Thanksgiving, what is going on here? But I want to talk to you this morning about having an attitude of gratitude.
Amen.
Okay? Having an attitude of gratitude. And, you know, God tells us to do things not for His benefit, but for our benefit. You realize that? There's nothing we can do to benefit God.
Amen.
He's God. I mean, He's the creator. He knows it all. He's all powerful. There's nothing you and I can do to benefit God. Whenever He tells us to do something, He tells us to do it for our benefit. Always. And He tells us that we're to give thanks in all things. We're to give thanks always, right?
Amen.
We're to have an attitude of gratitude because it benefits us. And I will tell you this morning, it will benefit you physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Understand how important an attitude of gratitude is. It will affect our entire being. It will affect our relationships. Who likes to be around a complainer who complains all the time? You know, usually we run from those type of people. Who wants to be around a person that's always negative? Okay? We had a lady in Argentina. You know what she said to me one day? Pastor, not even Job had the problems that I have. I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? But that's what happens when we do not have an attitude of gratitude and we start focusing on ourselves and on our, in comparison to Job, little problems. We make them bigger problems than what we think Job had. All right? And so we have to be careful. And, you know, sometimes the only time that we give Thanksgiving is around Thanksgiving. But it ought to be a daily thing. It ought to be a continuous thing in our lives. Especially you and I that have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He has forgiven us of all of our sins. He's made us His children. He's promised us a home in heaven where, can I tell you, we'll be living in paradise. Nothing bad at all. For all eternity. What's 100 years in comparison to eternity? Think about it. What is 100 years, if you make it that far, in comparison to forever? It's nothing. And so, yes, we are going to have problems when we're here on this corrupt planet. Okay? How many of you had to tell your kids? That's life. You know, they're complaining about, it's not just that I didn't get this or I didn't get that or this is happening. It's life here on planet Earth, folks. It rains on the just and the unjust, the Bible says. Okay? We have problems just like the unjust have. All right? It's just a part of life on planet Earth. And sometimes we allow our emotions to overrule what we know is the truth of what God says in His Word. We have to be careful that we are not guided by our emotions. Okay? How many of you know people that make decisions based on their emotions? And you know what happens? Most of the time, it turns out bad. Okay? Most of the time, when we make decisions based on our emotions, it turns out bad. Not just for us, but for everyone around us. Always. All right? We know, we as Christians, especially some of us that have been saved a long time, we know a lot of truth. But a lot of times when problems come into our lives, those emotions start kicking in, and we allow those emotions to deny the truth. And instead of being thankful and having an attitude of gratitude, we start complaining. We start accusing God of things. We had another lady in our church, you know what she said to me one day? Pastor, I was better off when I was backslidden than what I am now. You know what she was talking about? Her economic situation. Satan knows us. Can I tell you that? Satan knows us. He knows where to attack human beings. It's nothing new. Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that has ever happened to you or that ever will happen to you that have not happened to other people. Okay? And can I tell you this? There's people in other places that have a situation worse than yours. Okay? My dad, unsaved, because I did not grow up in a Christian home. He always taught us there's always people that have worse situations and less money than what we have. Okay? Because we grew up poor, and as kids, you complain about, well, I don't have what Johnny has, you know, and all that. You know, there's people that always have worse situations than what we have. As an unsaved man, you know what he's trying to teach his kids? Be thankful for what you have. Okay? And here in Job chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Can I tell you, God already knew. Okay. It was just wanting Satan to say something, okay? And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Can I tell you this? I don't put myself in Job's shoes. I mean, God himself is telling Satan how good this guy is, all right? How good Job is, okay? Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And here we go. Verse 14 starts it, okay? If you think you've got a bad day or a bad situation, listen to what happened in one day, okay, in Job's life. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, and behold, There came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only have escaped alone to tell thee." Whoa! One day, 10 kids, boom, dead. One day, the richest man in the area is now poor. One day. One day. Not over 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. One day. And a sister has the audacity to say, "Not even Job has the problems that I have." She still had her family. She still had her home. Okay? She was having some health issues as a senior citizen. But comparing that to Job, one day. All right? Let's look at Job's attitude. Because you see, attitude is a big thing. Our attitude is a big thing. Verse 20. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." Worshipped who? God. Okay? "And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." You see, Job understood everything that he had was a gift from God. God was the owner. Okay? If you're here and you're a Christian, can I tell you this? You've been bought with a price. Amen. The precious blood of Jesus. You belong to Him. You're not your own, the Bible says. All right? Job knew that truth and now, under extreme bad circumstances, he's living that truth. He is not allowing his circumstances to cause him to deny the truth that he understood. If you read in chapter 2, you'll find this. Satan comes before God again. Says, God says, "Hey, have you considered my servant Job?" And, "What? Yeah, but you touch his body, you touch his health, and see what he does." So God says, "Okay, go for it." Boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Okay? And then all of a sudden his wife comes to him. Y'all remember the story, right? "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Now, you, folks, we cannot accuse Job's wife. She's experiencing the same thing, okay? And then you keep reading, you find his friends come. They sit down with him in silence. So far, so good, okay? But then they start opening their mouths and accusing him of doing some great sin. "All this is happening to you, Job, because you have got some great sin in your life." Can I ask you this? Did Job have sin in his life? No, he did not. That teaching, which still goes on today, is a false teaching, okay? We can live right for God and experience bad things. I think somebody lived right and was crucified on the cross. Lived a perfect life. Was poor. Had his family and friends turn against him, okay? And was crucified on the cross. You see, if you look at the life of Job, you're going to find where Satan is attacking in some areas in his life the same as he does us. All right? Finances. Family. Friends. Okay? And health. Think about it. Finances, family, friends, and health. And he uses those four things today also. And what he's trying to do to us is to get us to, by experience in our life, deny God's truth. And can I tell you this? It works. Satan's not a fool, okay? Satan has got a lot, has gotten a lot of Christians to deny the truth that they know, to deny it by their experience. But when problems come in with their finances, like that sister in Argentina, I was better off when I was backslidden than I am now, okay? Family, huh? Jesus said, you know, some of our biggest problems will be, if we want to live right, will be from our own family. Friends, same thing, okay? And then some of us here are no longer 20 years old, right? Health issues, okay? It's still working today. It's still attacking those areas today in our lives. What we need to do, we need to be like Job and not allow Satan to change our attitude towards our God and towards his truth, okay? Very, very important. And one of those things is we need to give thanks in all things. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray this morning that you would help us to see this truth about the importance of having an attitude of gratitude on a daily basis, no matter what our situations are, and how it will benefit us personally. And I'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to do something that I don't usually do. I told the preacher this ahead of time. I usually don't do quotes and things like that. I usually just preach, you know. But I thought this would be good, you know. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference, Winston Churchill said. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. Thomas Jefferson. Whoa. These guys knew a few things, okay? The greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitude. William James. There is little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference. The little difference is attitude. The big difference is whether it is positive or negative. W. Clement Stone. Then my last one. We can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because thorn bushes have roses. Abraham Lincoln. Okay? Attitude is a big thing. And my question this morning is, how is your attitude? You know, how many of you have ever said to your kids, you need an attitude adjustment? Huh? Well, I think we adults, a lot of times, we need an attitude adjustment, especially in this area of being thankful. We have a God. Think about this. We have a God, and I'm just going to give my own. 21-year-old Army soldier into drugs, alcohol, and everything else, and a preacher showed him John 3:16. Y'all know what John 3:16 says, right? At that time, I did not. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the preacher put my name in there. For God so loved Steve Thornton that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Steve Thornton would believe on him, Steve Thornton would be saved. And that verse blew my mind. I'm just going to be honest with you. It blew me away. 21-year-old soldier that had never heard mom or dad either one say, I love you. Hearing that the God, the creator of the universe, loved him so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. He wanted me to be his child, wanted to live with me forever, blew me away. And like Dave said in Sunday school, if salvation is the only thing that I have everything to be thankful for. because I am no longer a child of Satan. I am no longer on that road to hell. I am no longer into drugs and alcohol and all those things. God's given me a lovely wife, 45 years. Woo! Huh? God called me into the ministry, and I'm like, Paul, that was just the grace of God, okay, that God allowed those things, and I am blessed, okay? Have there been problems? Oh, yeah, okay? You know, how many of you have ever been held up at gunpoint with that gun pointing in your face? Okay? It is not very fun. I'm telling you that right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not very fun in Argentina, okay? 2 times in 1 year, one time in front of the church and 1 time in front of our house, you know. But you know what? We were able to give thanks to God afterwards, you know. You know why? He didn't shoot me. Because there's been other people that have gotten shot and killed in the same situation. Huh? When he got robbed in our house, you know, we were able to thank God. He didn't steal our car. They didn't enter into our home. They stole everything that was on us, you know. They took all of our keys and everything. But then later on, the next day, neighbors found them and brought them to us. Okay? We need to understand, God is in control, okay? He knows what's going on in our lives, okay? And we need to be careful because sometimes we get the same attitude that the unsaved has. And here's that attitude that's in the world today. If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? Okay? It's not God, folks. God created everything perfect. It's mankind who are sinners that do all these bad things. Okay? It's not God. God created paradise for us to live in forever. It was man that decided to go his own way and disobey God and do his own thing that caused sin to enter into the world and caused paradise to be lost. But it will be restored. Okay? That's our hope. You know, Jesus will come back one day, okay, and take us home. But until then, we live on this planet, and this planet is corrupt. Bad things happen, okay, because we're living in a society that is corrupt. And we need to remember, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. All right? Sometimes we get so focused on living here that we believe this is our home. This is not our home. Okay? This is not our home. But sometimes we get so attached to this place and these things that when something happens, when somebody steals something from us, we just go to pieces. Okay? Folks, it's a thing. Okay? It's a thing. A thing can be replaced. Okay? We just need to be careful of our attitudes. Because our attitudes will cause others to either accept Christ or reject Christ. One lady at our church, she got that diagnosis. You've got cancer. Some of you have gotten that diagnosis. Okay? And people react, right, when they get that diagnosis? Because it's not a good thing to hear. You've got cancer, okay? But she decided that it was not going to change her. She was given a year. Her husband, Stan, was unsaved, okay? She kept coming to church, faithful in church, always had a smile, never complained, Okay? A year later, she passed away. During that time, she suffered, went through chemo and everything, you know. She lost about 2 or 3 inches of height. And all. I mean, it was not good, but her attitude was good. And you know what came out of that? Stan got saved. And he gave this testimony. He said, "Preacher, I did not get saved because of you." He said, "I got saved because I watched my wife for a year, dying of cancer, but always with a smile on her face, never complaining, and being thankful to her God." That's why he got saved. You know what? If you would ask her, because she had prayed for his salvation for a long time, if you'd ask her if it was worth it, you know what she'd say? "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah." Was it worth having a good attitude during that year that you were suffering and dying to see your husband saved? I can guarantee you, Mabel would say, "Yeah, it was worth it." You see, folks, our attitude will affect others. And you know, there's emotions. How many of you all think when a person explodes, they get upset and they explode, and they start yelling and screaming at you? That's an emotion, right? Is it a good emotion or a bad emotion? I think we'd all say it's a bad emotion, right? But you know what? Not having an attitude of gratitude and being a complainer is also a bad emotion and a bad attitude. But a lot of times we don't want to admit it because we're guilty of it. Whoa, huh? And sometimes, you know, it goes on and on and on. And sometimes it becomes a way of life for a Christian. That's what's unbelievable, okay? I can understand it for an unsaved person. I get it. They have no hope. This world is all they have. They have no hope. They don't have the Holy Spirit living in them. They don't have the truth that they can hold in their hands and read daily and glean from it. I can understand an unsaved person being a complainer, a whiner, negative all the time. I get that for an unsaved person. Because really, if you think about it, what hope do they have? Hell. Not very good hope, okay? But you and I who have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we've been forgiven of our sins, we have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, we have paradise forever as our hope, we do not have that excuse. "Well, I just can't help it." Oh, really? I guess God doesn't know what he's saying in Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I guess God didn't understand what he was saying when he, inspired the Apostle Paul to pen that verse, okay? No, listen. It's not that we can't. The problem is the want to. The commitment to have an attitude of gratitude. You see, if you and I want to do something, we will find a way to do it. Okay? I've always told our people in Argentina, and listen, we've had in Argentina 1 year, we were having 1,000% inflation a month. Woo! But you know what? They always found a way to have their asado, which is cookout, with the meat and everything. You know, when somebody wants something bad enough, they will find a way to get it. It's never a lack of money. It's never a lack of time, okay, or anything else. It's a lack of "I want it." And folks, you ought to want with all your heart an attitude of gratitude, because it does make a difference in all areas of your life. I was pastoring a church in Ohio, over 200 people. I had a lot of seniors in my congregation, so I was at the hospitals a lot, okay? And I had a lot of doctors. You know what they said to me? Pray with your parishioners and encourage them to be positive going into this operation. You know why? The doctors, even the unsaved doctors, know that a positive attitude will help you when it comes to surgery and rehabilitation. They know that, and they're unsaved. There's a reason why God says that we are to be thankful, that we ought to be grateful, because it benefits us. Now, I'm against all this. You know, there are some preachers that it's just positive thinking, positive this, positive. I'm not, you know, but I am in this. We do, folks, have a lot to be thankful for. Y'all that live in America, okay, I lived out of America for 34 years. I can tell you, there are people that have it a whole lot worse than what you do. You know, the Argentine people don't believe there's any poor people in America. You say, how in the world are they? Well, they're paying about the same prices that you are paying, and our workers probably get about $500 a month. Okay, so even the poor people in America, compared to an Argentine, got it off pretty well, okay? You and I that live in America, the greatest country on planet Earth, now somebody says, hey, I don't want... It is, I'm sorry. What do you think everybody in the other parts of the world thinks this is the Holy Land, you know, the land flowing with milk and honey? What do you think everybody wants to beat the door down to get in here? Okay? You and I as Christians in America, we ought to be the ones giving the example to the rest of the world that we are blessed and that we are thankful and that on a daily basis we are showing to others an attitude of gratitude, because it will change us and it will change others. I can guarantee you that. It will change us and it will change others. And you know what? Because if you have that attitude of gratitude, others will want to be around you. If you have an attitude of ingratitude, you're ungrateful, you're a complainer, no one's going to want to be around you, not even your family. Job. God said, have you considered my servant Job? Perfect, upright, one that escheweth evil. Oh, this guy was living for God. Then one day, boom, lost all of his material treasures, his 10 kids. Then, chapter 2, he loses his health, his wife. Won't you just curse God and die? His buddies, his friends, come. Yeah, all this is happening to you, Job, just because you've got some great sin in your life. Why don't you just confess it to God? Why don't you just get right with God, okay? And he just, man, one after the other, they just start hammering on him, okay? And because we have the Word of God, we know Job was walking with God, okay? And all these things happened to Job, not because of sin, but you see, God does allow testing in our lives, brothers and sisters. He does, okay? Different forms, okay? And our attitude will play a big role on how soon we come through it and how soon we get God's help. You see, because if we're always complaining and we're always denying the truth that we know, we're opening the door for Satan to keep on attacking. Because you see, it's sin. It's disobedience to God. I hate to say that, but we're to give thanks always. And in all things. Is it easy? No. Nothing worth something is easy. Okay? Nothing valuable is easy. And having this attitude of gratitude is valuable. That's what you need to see this morning. This attitude of gratitude is valuable for your health, for your mental stability, for your emotional stability, and for your spiritual growth. If you don't have an attitude of gratitude and you're complaining and you're unthankful, you will never grow spiritually. Impossible. And you'll never be what God wants you to be. God never said we would live a life without problems. I know there's churches and, you know, preachers preaching this, you know, that, you know, if you're right with God, bad things won't happen to you. I'm sorry. Jesus is our supreme example. He lived a perfect life. Was poor. Was deserted by his family and friends. Okay? Suffered terribly and died, crucified, the worst death you can experience on the old rugged cross. And you know what it says? He went to the cross joyfully because he was thinking of you and me. He was thinking of you and me. Folks, let's get our eyes off of ourselves. Let's put our eyes on others. Let's have the attitude that my dad had. There's always somebody that's got less. And there's always somebody that's got a worse situation. Let's start looking through the eyes of Christ instead of looking through our eyes and just focusing on me. Because when we focus on me, we'll never have an attitude of gratitude. But when we start looking through the eyes of Christ at others and their situations, then we can kneel and say, God, thank you for giving me an attitude of gratitude. And maybe you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you've received Christ as your Savior, you know you're on your way to heaven, but maybe you've not had an attitude of gratitude. And maybe you need to come today and say, God, help me to show others an attitude of gratitude. Because you see, that's what Jesus had. And if you look at it, that's what the Apostle Paul had. And he suffered a lot. That's what Job had, okay? Those that walked with God and received the blessings of God, if you'll look at their lives, you'll see they didn't have perfect lives. They had problems, bad situations, but they did have an attitude of gratitude. And folks, I'm going to tell you this morning, that is one of the biggest prayers that you can ask God for. Father, give me an attitude of gratitude that through me, you might impact others for Christ. Let's all stand, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, what's your situation this morning? If you're here, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not sure you'd go to heaven, that is your first step that you need to make. Once you come forward, we'll have someone with the Bible take you apart and show you how you can know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven. If you're here, you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, How's your attitude? Do you have that attitude of gratitude? If not, why don't you come and say, God, help me to have an attitude of gratitude, because it is a decision that you must make. God won't force you. It's best for you, but he won't force you to have it. But you need to have the want to have this attitude of gratitude. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you for the attentiveness of your people. And I pray this morning that you would help us to want to daily have an attitude of gratitude, that you might use it to impact those around us. I'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
As our brother said, if you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, are you grateful? Are you thankful? Are you expressing those things? When's the last time you said, thank you, Lord, for my salvation? When's the last time you thanked your spouse, your children, your family, a church member for their ministry to you and how they've helped in some way? If God has spoken to your heart in any way, whether it be a need for Christ, want someone to pray with you, or maybe you're here today, you say, preacher, I don't know, but I need to be more grateful. Why not come this morning where you stand here at an altar and just come and pray? Someone has already come this morning. Others may need to. And don't get in your mind that an altar or time of prayer is for sinners. It's also for Christians. And by the way, if you're a believer, you're a sinner too. The only difference is if you know the Lord, you're a sinner saved by grace. But it's a place to talk to the Lord, to thank the Lord, to be grateful, to be thankful, to express your gratitude to what he's done for you and through you. So the Lord has spoke to your heart this morning, whether it's where you stand here or at an altar, why not pray? Maybe you want to grab someone and say, hey, come pray with me. I just want to let you know that I'm grateful for you. I don't want the Lord to know I'm grateful for my church and my church family. Whatever it may be, you do business with the Lord this morning. Gratitude is something that we can never overdo when it's done in the right way, toward others, toward our Savior, toward those who made a difference in our life, to those who introduced us to the Lord, to those who have mentored us and encouraged us in ministry. Whatever it may be, that thought, that challenge of having the right attitude, being grateful, expressing gratitude for those around us, and most importantly, to our Savior. Hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. We may close the public invitation. I'm always available if you have a need or would like to talk. I want to ask Brother Thornton and Miss Pam, why don't you all make your way to the back and greet people as they come out. And of course, tonight we'll have our evening service this evening. We welcome you back tonight. I'll be talking a little bit along similar lines, but more in the aspect of rejoicing and being grateful and how to express that. And then, but I just want to say one thing. I'm a preacher. I didn't get up to bat today. So let me say this. Through the years, I've had several surgeries, and every surgery that I had required physical therapy, whether it be a shoulder, hands, knees, it required physical therapy. Physical therapy was painful. It was hard, but I knew at the end of my therapy, pushing toward a goal, that was going to make me physically healthy. And sometimes God puts us through some spiritual physical therapy. He puts us through some trying times. It's only to grow us, to help us, to challenge us, to push us, to help us to be more like him. As we talked about this morning in Sunday school about that silver and the dross and those who work with that, they may reflect us to be more like him. So sometimes, and the next time you're hurting, the next time you think life isn't fair, the next time you think, Lord, why me? Maybe ask yourself, Lord, Are you trying to make me more like you? Lord, help me through this spiritual, physical therapy that I'm going through, that I might be better, that I might be stronger, that I might be more pliable and usable for your honor and for your glory. Amen. All right. So as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Visitors, thank you for being here this morning. Please come back again. Evening service is 6. Choir practice at 4:15 this afternoon. Choir practice is 4:15. Evening service is 6. Am I forgetting anything else or a song? Before we dismiss, we are going to have our song, God Bless Our Troops. For those of you who are visiting with us this morning, we've been singing this through the month of November with our military appreciation, and we also have some families downrange. Brother Sam, if you'd come, and afterwards, Brother Sam, why don't you go ahead and dismiss us in prayer again after we lead this song.
God bless our troops. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to hear your word preached. We thank you for Brother Thornton and his ministry, Lord. We just pray that you continue to bless them as they move on in their ministry. Lord, we pray that you will give us an attitude of gratitude, giving thanks in everything that we experience in our lives, Lord, knowing that what you have in mind for us is the best. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to hide these truths in our hearts, Lord, to contemplate on them and make that they might make a difference in our lives. Lord, we just thank you again for the opportunity to be here. We pray that you'll take us safely home, Lord, and bring us back at the appointed time. We ask these things and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.